Have you come to worship the Lord this morning? Amen. Can I tell you something? Well, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to tell you a lot of stuff here this morning, but listen. Did you have fun at Trunk or Treat?
Yes.
Was that not fun, good, awesome time? Can I tell you something? Worshiping the Lord, serving God, listening to His Word, absorbing His principles, applying them to your lives. Can I tell you? That should be just as much fun as having a trunk or treat. Why is coming to church and serving and worshiping God supposed to be such a bland, drab, I got to go to church again? Why is it not when we come to worship God and hear from His Word, are we not just as excited as having trunk or treat? I'll tell you what, Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Psalms tells us that in the presence of God is the fullness of joy. Have you come to have your fullness of joy this morning? I hope so, man. Because serving God and worshiping God should be an awesome, wonderful experience every second of every day. We should have fullness of joy. But sometimes we deny ourselves that because we don't want to be obedient. We don't want to prepare our hearts. Do you know what music does for us? Not only is it an act of worship, not only does it giving us the evidence of being filled with the Spirit, but it also prepares our hearts to hear the word of the Lord. And you know what the difference is between a prepared heart and an unprepared heart? It's somebody that would come in ready, excited, flourished to hear from God's word and walk away going, man, that's exactly what I needed to hear. As opposed of somebody saying, man, when's this bold guy going to hurry up and shut up? I'm getting hungry. There's a difference between a prepared heart and an unprepared heart. And so this morning, we're going to finish up with our faith promise missions. And so I want to make this as simple, as painless for you as possible, but give you the biblical principle the best that I can in a way that's painless and easy. Little Timmy didn't want to put his money into the offering plate Sunday morning. So his mother tried to use some hurried creative reasoning with him. So she said, you don't want that money, she whispered. Quick, drop it into the offering plate. It's tainted. And so, horrified, little Timmy obeyed and threw his money into the offering plate. A few seconds later, he whispered and he said, Mom, why is the money tainted? Is it dirty? Oh, no, dear, she replied. It's not dirty. It just taint yours and it taint mine. It belongs to God. All right. That's awesome. I love that. You guys are too nice. This is Faith Promise Missions. And so we're going to close this up today. If you got a card, if you didn't got a card, if you don't know, if you haven't purposed in your heart of what you want to give, don't worry. You can drop the card in the offering plate next week or so if you're not sure. At the end of the service, we're going to have some guys back there with offering plates. If you didn't drop it in the offering plate now, you can drop it back there at the end of the service. You can do it next week. But just be thinking and praying about how you can be a blessing to world missions. All right, we're talking about stepping out on faith and promising to give maybe a little more this year for missions. Missions is important. This is a money matters for sure. And so I don't know if you know this, but Jesus talked more about money than he did heaven or hell. Do you know that? Do you know that the Bible speaks on the topic of money more than it does any other topic? Do you know why that is? Somebody tell me why that is. Don't call on me. Because it's important. Because God knew, outside of heaven and hell, the most thing that people would think about in this life is money. It takes money to do all kinds of stuff, right? You can't do anything in this life today without money, right? Amen. And God understood that, and God knew that. And so he tried to get us prepared to understand what his idea of money and how we should deal with this thing of money in our lives. And so this is no different. And so last week we talked about, you know, the Bible commands that you ought to pay the preacher. And we said that it was more important for the missionary because why? What would happen? Lest we what? Hinder the gospel. We don't want to hinder the gospel, do we? Listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12. He says, if others are partakers of this rite, being that the Bible proclaims you're to pay the preacher, he says, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this rite. Paul worked with his hands as a tent maker. He didn't use that rite, but he endured all things lest he hindered the gospel of Christ. Because if you want to witness to somebody and see that they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and then you want to come in and say, okay, now the Bible commands that I get paid, so go ahead and give me some money, you will lose the gospel in everything that you do. It's only for mature believers to give. And so this is why we give to missions. It's because when missionaries go to different countries, some of these people don't even have money to give to them, even after they're saved and long mature in their faith. We don't want to hinder the gospel to be preached. So we support missionaries. And so I don't know if you know what the Bible says about giving and explaining all that. So I'm trying to do the best that I can to make this very simple and very easy to give you the biblical principles. So, giving to God is part of our worship. Do you know that? Giving to God is actually part of our worship. Psalm 96, verse 8 through 9 says this, give to the Lord the glory due to His name. All right? Give to the Lord. How much does God own? God owns it all, dude. Every bit of it belongs to God. We just give a portion back, right? Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter how much you give. Let me explain that to you. If you give 0.5%, it doesn't matter how much you give. But let me say this. You'll give an account for what you keep. You understand that? If you give 90% of your income to God, you will never get account for what happens. It's only the portion that you keep. And God is an awesome, generous God. That's why He says, hey, maybe just start at 10%. You can keep the other 90. It's not what we give, it's what we keep that we have to give an account for. Remember that. Give to the Lord glory due to His name. The Bible says that all glory is due to His name. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says that in everything that we do, we are to do it for the glory of God. And giving is no different. Giving is absolutely no different. Matter of fact, giving to God is an expression of our love. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8:8. He says, I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. 1 Corinthians 8:9 is talking about giving and so forth. So a lot of these verses are from missions and giving aspects. So it's an expression of our love. Matter of fact, 2 Corinthians 8:24 says, therefore, show to them and before the churches the proof of your love and our boasting on your behalf. They're speaking of giving. Giving to God is an act of personal surrender. Matter of fact, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8:5, and not only as we have hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. You know you'll never give unless you surrender yourself to God. Do you know that? I hope you know that. Until you surrender to God, you'll never give a dime. It's amazing. Now, all right, let's get into this. Matt, would you open us up in a word of prayer, please?
God, thank you so much for this day.
Yes.
Thank you for how good you are to us. We hope that we have not done using this yet. So just be with each and everyone here. Be with the message.
Yes.
And how good you are to us. We are so blessed.
Amen. Thank you. All right, let's get into it. Number one, we're talking about faith promise missions. What does that mean? What is that? There are many biblical principles that are found in the Bible, a lot of them in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 that give us our principles on faith promise mission giving. And so the attitude of our giving must be cheerful. 2 Corinthians 9:7, Paul says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. It should be an exciting thing out of an act of worship and our love for God to be able to give back to Him. He gives us everything that we have here and now. Every good and great and precious and wonderful and fantastic gift comes down from the Father of light. And that includes our finances. And so when God says that, hey, I just want a portion back, we ought to purpose in our heart to give a little bit of that back. You know, Daniel, back in Daniel chapter 1, he purposed in his heart not to eat the king's meat. That was a thing that was punishable by death. You understand that? If you didn't listen to what the king said, you were dead. He'd cut your head off. But Daniel said, I'm purposing my heart to follow God. Because back in the Old Testament, there was, you know, dietary laws. So he chose rather to purpose in his heart to follow God, and God blessed that. And so here's the idea. We need to purpose in our heart what God wants us to give. And so not grudgingly. We don't do it grudgingly or out of necessity. Does anybody have to give? You don't have to give if you don't want to. But you ought to want to. That's the idea. You should love to give. God loves a cheerful giver. How much does God give? God gives it all, man. Are we not commanded to be like God? He's a generous giver. He gave us everything he had. We have all grace. I mean, how much do we get into heaven by? Just the seat of our pants? No. He gives us all grace and mercy to attain heaven. What is the inheritance that we have in heaven? We have all things. Do you know we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ? What does that mean? Somebody tell me what that means. What does it mean to be a joint heir? Whatever the other guy owns, you own. Whatever he possesses, you possess. So if Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and he owns everything, do you know what's going to happen? I'm a joint heir of all the things that he owns too. God only knows one way to give, and that's generosity. He is a generous God, and we're proclaimed to imitate him. So we ought to be generous as well. God loves a cheerful giver. Faith giving allows believers to give beyond their power to the cause of world missions. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8:3. He says, "For I bear witness that according to their ability," yes, and beyond their ability, "they were freely willing." Listen, we have ability to give, but when you step out on faith promise, by faith you're stepping out and promising a new amount. And so these people gave, and they gave beyond their abilities. It's an amazing thing to step out by faith and say, God, this is what we've purposed in our heart, and I believe this has come from you. And watch God provide when that happens. We're to give out of our need to, rather than out of our excess. You understand that? Or to give out of our need to, rather than just the excess that we have left. This is how God's word defines sacrificial giving. Matter of fact, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8:2 that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, abounding in the riches of their liberality. The Macedonian church was very poor, but they gave more than what they should have. In their poverty, they gave in abundance. Man, that's amazing. That early church had some awesome things that people did. What an example for us today. Now, no believer is exempt from participation in faith promise giving. God's plan is all-inclusive. It's for every believer. Every believer should be giving something. That's the idea. 2 Corinthians 8:7, Paul said, "But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also." What was that grace? It was giving. It was grace giving. As the name suggests, faith promise missions, giving to is based on a faith commitment. You're giving based on a faith commitment. This is not a pledge to the church, but it's a commitment to Christ and to world missions. Faith promise missions. I give my card away. Anyway, on your card, you see that there's numbers over there. I think from $1 on the far bottom and all the way up to $100. Thank you. Aren't you glad for wives? Aren't you glad for your wife, Matt? All right. Down on the bottom of that card in the bottom right, it says $1. At the top is $100. Listen, this is what you're saying. And when you write down in your faith promise mission cards, and I hope that I'm getting this right. If not, this is the way we're going to do it. But When you give, let's say you gave a dollar last year to missions, and you want to give nine more. What's nine plus one? Okay, so what do you put on your card? 10. Okay, we want the new number of what you're promising to give. This is what you're going to step out in faith. God, some of you guys need to go back to math class. That's simple stuff, man. All right. Whatever you gave last year, I don't want last year's amount. You're stepping out in faith, promising to give a new amount, and we want to know that amount. That helps us understand in our missions budget. Because the year is coming up where we're going to have to do missions. How many missionaries do we support?
86.
Thank you. Somebody name 10 of them. Kims. Everybody knows the Kims, man. I remember the Kims. Come on, somebody different. Who? Oh, you're disqualified. You can't. You got the list and all that. Yeah. Come on, Zelma. Who?
Or?
Oh, okay. Okay. There's two. We got some missions work to do here. Okay. That's all right. That's all right. Listen, I don't care if we support 10 missionaries. If we support 10 missionaries, we ought to support them quite a few hundred dollars a month and give them 100% of our all. If we're going to support 86 missionaries, then we ought to know who these people are. Missions should be vitally important. Just as the mission is to get people in here to witness to them with the gospel of Christ, so should world missions be the same to us. Look, if we're going to support these people, we should know who they are. You know what I'm saying? We should be writing letters to these people saying, we're praying for you. We want you to know Cook Road Baptist Church is praying for you. Not just supporting you in money, but we're praying for you as well. Man, this is important stuff, guys. We need to rethink how we're doing this stuff. We ought to know all 86 of them. And if not, then this group up here, they should know 20. That group should know 20. That group should know 20. So that way, everybody is at least rifling off somebody, not just two. But in your faith promise giving, just put down the new number that you would like to give. That should be simple enough. Did I explain that well enough? Is that the way that goes, Rob?
Weekly?
Yes, thank you. This is a weekly amount. Yeah, got to make sure you get that clear. This isn't $1 a year. This is a weekly amount. This is your weekly giving. And so thank you for that. I appreciate that. All right, faith promise missions. By faith, you're stepping out to promise a new amount to give for missions only. Missions only, which brings us to my second point. Number two, God is a God of order. God is a God of order. Now listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. And I use the NLT because it really hammers the point I'm trying to say. For God is not a God of disorder. That was my second point. God is a God of order. God is not a God of disorder. I think some translations say that he is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the meetings of God's holy place. Now listen, he's talking about tongue speaking there, and I understand that, and I'm not talking about tongue speaking. We're talking about giving. But follow me. The principle here is exactly the same. When God is a God of order, God expects us to do things in an orderly fashion. That's why it's talking about tongue speaking, 1 Corinthians 14, 13. And so, in the idea, when you speak in tongues, matter of fact, the early church was to do it at the maximum three people. I ain't going to get into all the verses and all that stuff. You can look it up yourself, 1 Corinthians 14. But three people at the max was supposed to speak in tongues, each one in order. This one goes, then this one could go, then that one could go. And one of them was going to interpret. If no interpreter was found, they were to keep silence and shut up. And so the same thing holds true today. While the service is going on, one person is speaking, they are giving the truth of God's word. Unless I ask you a question, I want you to do your math skills, and some of you are vocal, some of you aren't, some of you don't know how to add. And so, but when somebody is talking, when I'm doing this, other people should be doing this. And that's how it should be. God is a God of order. If you were to take the Lord's Supper, I would ask that you don't take it unless you've been baptized, but first been saved. God is a God of order. Amen? Okay, you can't take the Lord's Supper and be obedient to Christ without being baptized. Am I right or wrong? Okay. And so you shouldn't be baptized unless that is on the right side of your salvation, right? You need to be saved first before you can be baptized, because baptism is a picture of your salvation. Okay, so what I'm trying to get you to see here is that God is a God of order. You do things in an orderly fashion. You don't get them out of order. And so when it comes to giving, this is no different. God is still the God of an orderly fashion. What do I mean by that? Well, let me give it to you. On a weekly basis, unless you get paid once a month. I mean, I don't think that there's a problem with that. Some people get their, I don't know, pension checks once a month or something. And if that's the case, then give once a month. Whenever you get paid, that was the idea. And so we talk about tithes. We talk about offerings. We talk about this stuff. I don't want to confuse you, man. I don't want to get you confused. I want to explain this very simply. There's what they're called a general offering, a tithe offering, right? Tithe simply means 10%, okay? That's what the biblical word tithe means, 10%. Okay, it doesn't just go in with finances. When you think about tithes, don't just give finances. Because you ought to be tithing 10% of your time and talents to your local church. Amen? Okay, so if you're just giving your 10% of your money, you ought to be doing 10% of your time and your talents to your local assembly. If you're not doing that, then you're still not tithing either. So understand, tithe is more than just finances. So when it comes to finances on a weekly basis, I get paid once a week. So once a week, I plan out a certain amount for my general giving. The principle found in God's word is 10%. However, let me explain. Don't stop there. If you can give 11, give 11. If you give 12, give 12. Don't just stop at 10%. We talked about God as a generous giver. Get up to that point where you can give more. You won't give an account for what you give, only what you keep. Now, it's not all about money, and I'm not just asking money, and it's not up to me. Dude, if you don't want to give, don't give a dime. Give an account for it when you get to heaven. I'm just giving you the biblical example. I'm just giving you the instruction of what God says. So, in your general giving, in your tithe giving, what does that go to? Does anybody know what that goes to? What does the biblical principle of a tithe go to? Bills, okay. What are those bills? Electric, gas, salaries, mortgage, stuff like that. That comes out of the general giving, right? That's a biblical basis. You give your general giving. Back in the Old Testament, it went for the temple. It went for the upkeep of the temple. Went for the priests. Went for all that stuff. I mean, I don't even remember the verse, but it says that the tithe, when the priest received the tithe from the people, the priest was the tithe off of that tithe. So if you guys are giving a tithe to the local church and I get paid out of that, guess what? I give a tithe off of that too. That's a biblical principle. This is what it is. Now, I said God is a God of order, and we don't do things out of order. When God asks that we give first for that purpose, that is our first givings every week. I think the first fruits are, however you want to put it. I call it general giving, tithe giving, whatever you want to put that on there. That goes for a specific purpose. Okay? Is that clear? Anything above that is an offering. See, we give our tithes and offerings, right? The tithe goes for that purpose. Anything above that is for a different purpose. Missions is not part of our utilities. Do you understand that? Missions is not part of our utilities. I know it's in our budget. We have our budget of all the stuff we do per year, and missions is a part of that, but it's not part of our tithe giving budget general offering per week. Missions is a different offering. This is above and beyond your tithe. And that's what we're doing here this morning. We're giving, stepping out by faith. We're giving, first of all, to the tithe or to the general offering. And now you're promising to give specifically to missions. This doesn't come out of your tithe. Do you understand that principle? Sometimes there's somebody that comes in and they want to do a special something. Hey, we need candy for trunk or treat. Somebody want to go out and buy that? Like, oh, okay, yeah, we'll do that. We'll take that out of our tithe and we'll buy all kinds of candy. Please don't take away from the tithe. That has its specific purpose and its design. If you want to give to missions, or you want to give to a special missionary, please don't take away from your tithe to give to that. That's a different offering. Is that clear? God is a God of order, and he expects us to do things in an orderly fashion. We give our tithes to the general stuff, and above and beyond that in our offerings, we give to missions, and above and beyond that, we give to other kinds of missions. Other kinds of missions include all kinds of different things. Now, I'm hoping that this isn't too hard. You have tithe giving, you have offering giving, and you have everything else. Do not take away from your tithe to give to missions or to any other programs that you'd like to give for. The ministry suffers because of that. We base everything based on general giving. And then for missions, whatever comes in on faith promise missions, then we can design a yearly package for that. Then we can do some fantastic stuff. That lets us know how many new missionaries we can take on. Or if we can't take on any new, then we got to eliminate somebody if our faith promise missions isn't coming in. Which takes me to the last part. When you understand faith promise missions, when you understand that God is a God of order and he does things in an orderly fashion, don't take away from your regular tithes to give to missions. But thirdly, it's a stewardship thing. It's all about stewardship. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, he says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful." What does it mean to be faithful? Give me another word for faithfulness. Come on, give it to me. Trust. What else? Loyalty. Ooh, that's good. What else? Come on. Consistent. Ooh, that's great. You're getting the idea. Moreover, it is not a suggestion. God doesn't say, "I suggest that you be faithful." God says it is required that you be consistent in your giving. That's good. I like that. Thank you. Be consistent. Be faithful. Trust God every week. And so, be faithful in your local church. Be faithful in your giving. Be faithful in your serving. Be faithful in whatever. Listen, if you start giving your tithe, start giving it faithfully. If you start giving faith promise missions, please start giving it faithfully. If you fill out a card and you say you'll promise to give a certain amount, please do that faithfully every week. These missionaries rely on that money. And so we don't want to hinder the gospel of Jesus Christ from being given. Let me give you this illustration. There was a king once who visited a town. And so in preparation for the king's visit, the town decided to fill a giant barrel with wine. And they were going to present it to the king upon his arrival. Now, where were they going to get this all this wine to fill this giant barrel? Well, they come up with this bright idea that each family of the town would bring a flask filled with the best wine that that family had. And they would put it into this giant barrel. And then this way, the barrel would be filled with the absolute best wine that that town had. So when that king come to visit, he would have the best that this people had to offer. So they placed the barrel in the center of town with a ladder reaching to the top. And every day people lined up to pour their flask of wine into the barrel. And the day finally came that the king visited the town. And the people, man, they were just excited to present this king with this best wine that these people could possibly give to somebody who deserved it like a king. And so the king was shown the barrel. He was given this big kingly goblet, and they filled the goblet with wine from the giant barrel, and the townspeople were shocked by the look on the king's face. And so they said, "King, why is your face so downtrodden?" And he said, "Because when I wanted to taste the best of your wine, all it was water." And so, turns out that each family member thought to themselves that, "Why should I give the best of my wine when everybody in town will be doing the same thing? So if I just take a little flask of water instead of my best and put that into the barrel, it won't dilute the best wine that much by just a little bit of water." But the problem was is that everybody had that same idea. And so what happened was is that nobody gave any wine. Everybody gave water. See, it comes to the thing that we're all called to be stewards. Not just the rich people, not just the middle class people. We are all called to be stewards of our finances. It doesn't matter how much you give, but be faithful in your giving. God wants us to be faithful. The issue is not how much we give, but just being faithful in what we give. Can I ask you a question? Let's get back into some math. Let's say you give your tithes and offerings here, your 10% for the general. You give the Faith Promise missions because you want to support missionaries. And let's say over here that you're being faithful with that. You want to give to the teen ministry. Let's say 100 people give $1 to the teen ministry. How much is that per week? Everybody, I hope, say $100, right? This is weekly. So $1, 100 people, that's $100 a week. All right? Now, there's 4 weeks in a month usually. How much is that per month? $400. Okay, now we're getting a little more here in our math, so work with me. I don't know if you have enough fingers and toes. Let's say you take that $400 a month times 12 months. How much is that a year? $4,800. That's almost $5,000. Can I tell you something very seriously and very honestly? If 100 people gave $1 to the teen ministry faithfully, faithfully, every week, that's almost $5,000 a year. Can I tell you something? That's double what our budget is for the teens. Do you understand that? Is this thing on? $1 a week for 100 people to give to the teen ministry. That's double our budget already. $1. Where's my Starbucks fans out there? Dadgum, man, you stop taking one Starbucks cup. That's $5. I don't want to get into that because I don't have enough fingers and toes. But man, if we just gave a certain amount, you give to God in your tithes and offerings to support the generality of this church. You give to Faith Promise missions so that we're not hindering the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, you give just a small amount, but you got a bunch of people that are faithful in giving that. Oh my goodness. Could you use a little bit of extra money to get out there into the community and reach teens? $1 to the Awana Club program. Oh, man. Do you follow what I'm saying? If I stop going to Starbucks one time a week, that's $5. If 100 people did that, I could give one to the teens, one to the children's. I could give $1 to a building fund. I could give $1 to, I don't know, something, anything, the Dan Zetiker Starbucks fund. That way I could get my money back. I don't know. But here's the idea. Man, the sky is the limit. God doesn't want you to give tons of money. He wants you to be faithful in what you do give. Because that adds up, man. That adds up. I'll tell you what. Just to be faithful in what we give. Because here's the point. Luke 12:48, Jesus said, "For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more." That's awesome. God wants faithfulness with what he gives us. And it's all for his glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Mark this in your Bibles. Mark this in your minds. Remember this. "Therefore, whether you eat, whether you drink," and the Dan Zetiker paraphrased, "whether you're going to church, whether you're giving money, whether you're out into the community, whether you're out at work, whether you're sleeping, it doesn't matter. Whatever you do, do all for the glory of God." Amen. That's why we do what we do. We give to the glory of God. We come here to fellowship for the glory of God. We go out and we witness for the glory of God. Everything we do is for God's glory. And that's an amazing thing. Listen, the greatest way that we can give glory to God is to be imitators of him. Paul said in Ephesians 5, verse 2, 1, "Or be imitators of God as dear children." Do you know what that means? Let me give you something. Jesus says, what the Son sees the Father do, the Son will do in like manner. That's a principle. Your child is either going to turn out to be like the mother or the father. And so, my father is dead, but you can know what my father was like by looking at me. For those of you that knew my father. It's an amazing thing. And so, that's why when Paul says, be imitators of God as dear children. If you are a child of God, then start imitating. God is a generous giver. And that's what he expects out of his children, to be an imitator of him. Listen, imitation is something that's fake. Imitator is something that is exactly like the original. There's a difference. There's too many imitations in this world. Too many people that are fake Christians. God wants people that are real. God only knows one way to give, and that's generously. Do you know that he gave everything for us? And the greatest gift that he gave us was his Son, Jesus Christ. He gave his Son, which is all that he had, his only begotten, so that he could come and die on the cross to pay the price for sin. And let me tell you something. His blood doesn't apply to you unless you receive that gift. The greatest act of giving, God gave his Son. And so my question to you is, have you ever received that? That is a free gift. It cost my God his life blood. But it's a free gift to everyone that would receive it. Have you received that gift? I pray as we give our invitation this morning that you would literally accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That'd be the greatest gift that you ever received. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we just come before you this morning, Lord, and we thank you for Faith Promise Missions. We thank you for your design. We thank you for your word, God. It gives us guidance and directions on how we're to do things. But Lord, the greatest thing that we can do is give you glory in witnessing to every person we come in contact with. Lord, we want to be a place of grace here. We want to love on people. Lord, we want to come in and live this abundant life you promised. Have a wonderful time of enjoyment in your presence. We want to feel that fullness of joy. But God, there might be someone here this morning that does not know your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior. God, we want to give that an opportunity to have your way. Lord, we just pray that your Spirit would prick that person's heart, Lord, and just speak to them in a way that only you can. And Lord, as we give this invitation, I pray, God, that they would come. That they would come so that we could show them from your word what it means to have heaven and eternal life. To be your child. So now that they too can start imitating you. And so, God, we just commit this invitation to you, and we just pray that you have your way. And it's in Christ's name that we ask. Amen.